Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Welcome to Sportsman of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hey, we've got a jam-packed show for you. And a quick reminder now, you miss our live show here on Saturdays, 1 to 2. You can catch us twice on Sundays. That's 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. And then the following Thursday, 9 to 10 a.m. right here on KLZ 560. And hopefully one of those times will work out for you. And if not, you can get your podcast course at our website, sportsmanofcolorado.com, and where you get yours. So we'd love to have you join us. We're going to kick things off today with our good buddy Randy Carancy. He is the owner of E-Bike of Colorado, 544 Front Street. And most of you know Randy. He has been very faithful, attending a lot of our sports shows. I guess our most recent one was a Mile High Hunt and Fish Expo. And Randy, first of all, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, I thought, man, we need to get on this. Hey, big game season's around the corner, and I wanted to talk about e-bikes in the outdoors a little bit. And so, you know, I was talking with some friends just yesterday, and that's what kind of spurred my thought to do this, because one guy says, you know, I've thought about it, but he goes, I'm trying to think of all the advantages or disadvantages of it. And and I said, well, man, I said, I'll tell you. I said, now, I've only had mine a couple of years, and I said, I haven't gone into, you know, miles and miles back in the backcountry. I'm just being honest. And I said, but I have taken it out. And I said, it is awesome. And, you know, one thing, well, first of all, let you say, just from owning an e-bike store, you've probably seen a growth over this in the outdoors. Now, you know, again, we mainly talk about hunting and fishing here, but when I say e-bikes in the outdoors, I'm not just saying, you know, just for hunting and fishing. It could be for camping, photography, just getting in the outdoors. So I want to make that clear. But there has been a growth in this side of it, hadn't there, from the outdoor industry?
Yeah, a tremendous growth in it. And, Scott, there's so many things that a person can do, you know, with an e-bike that – because, you know, I think people said, well, if I harvest an elk, can I put a half an elk on that trailer and pull it with any bike? No, you can't. How about a deer? Probably not, you know. But you can take maybe you could a deer, maybe a half a deer. But my point on a trailer that's designed for that type of thing.
Sure.
And it all depends on terrain.
Yep.
Once again, it's on terrain. But let's talk about the other sector for just a minute. Other sectors that you mentioned, the, you know, outdoor photography. There's a lot of people that love to get up early in the morning, go somewhere, set up their canvas and paint a sunrise, or vice versa, a sunset later in the day, or something like that. Right? There's the fishermen and all that. You don't even need a little trailer for that kind of stuff. You know, you put your fishing pole and your tackle box on that. A friend of mine got a tackle box. I don't fish, so I don't know much about that. Kevin Flesh would you know, probably hit me across the head if I told him I didn't fish, but because he's such an avid fisherman. But you know, they have a backpack with you know, all their tackle and their gear in it. It's like a regular backpack. That'd be perfect. A new bike would be perfect for that. And since I mentioned Kevin, which I just didn't plan to do that, but he uses it like that.
Yeah.
He takes his fishing rod, and I think he said he's gone places on rivers that he's been fishing for years, and he rode up the river on a path, bike path type of thing, and he said he got way up further than he normally would have ever walked and had a great, great fishing experience.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. But hunting and getting, you know, turkey hunters love them. Things like that. So there's an e-bike can change your life.
Right.
Put it that way.
Yeah. And, you know, especially when you know, you get some miles on these knees and our legs and things, you know, man, it just can make it a lot more fun and a lot more enjoyable. And, you know, one thing that I was talking with this one guy about, I was just talking about, I said, man, I said, do you want to talk about, you know, you're hiking somewhere, and man, you find time you get up there and you're sweating like crazy and all that, and the wind changes, and how, you know, that can hurt you immensely, of course, when you're big game hunting. So I kind of think of an e-bike kind of as being a little stealthy and, you know, scent control, because I mean, if you use ATVs, UTVs, different things like that, I mean, they're going to put off certain scents and certainly sounds. And you know, so I mean, bow hunters, of course, that's where we start out here with our big game season, but I mean, I could see these being very, very beneficial for bow hunters getting back in certain areas as well.
Yeah, you know, they're very, very quiet. They're not, you know, you're always going to have the wheels, you know, touching the ground and stuff like that, but you know, somebody's hiking and whatnot, same similar type of thing, you know. So in other words, noises is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you get in a little bit deeper into the woods, a little bit, you know, I mean, you got to remember, it's not a motorcycle. So it's a pedal assist type of bike. The bikes we would promote that to for hunters would be one with a throttle. I'll say it. It's that Segway brand that's got that full suspension bike. It's put knobby tires on it. Man, it's golden for something like that to get in the backcountry. You know, fire roads, riding fire roads and those types of things as well. But you can ride a game trail on those bikes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It depends on the ability of the person, too.
Sure.
You take a real strong mountain biker, for instance, and maybe he's an avid hunter. Oh my gosh, he'll get everywhere with a bike like that, where he might not take his, you know, Orbea carbon fiber mountain bike, even a mountain bike e-bike back in those countries just to hunt with. But he would take that Segway because it's beefy. It's a good, solid bike for getting back in that heavy country like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Randy Cranch is with us. Once again, he's the owner of E-Bike of Colorado. 544 Front Street, downtown Louisville. They're open 10 to 7, 7 days a week for your convenience. Now, you know, you talk about increased carrying capacity, and, you know, I was doing a little bit of research on this, and one article I read, so I'm not locking us into the poundage, but, you know, a lot of hunting and fishing e-bikes that said feature the heavy-duty type frames, fat tires like you were talking about, that can definitely support, you know, 250 pounds or so. And again, you want to check your bike for specifics. But and there are these specialized, you know, cargo trailers, panniers, racks, you know, easily haul, like you were saying, your fishing rods, tackle boxes, tree stands, different things like that. And man, it just makes it so much more convenient, like I say, to get back in there.
Yeah. And you know, Scott, a lot of, and when we're talking about 250 pounds, we're talking about the weight capacity on the actual bike.
Right.
Whereas if you're towing something, maybe you're towing another 50 or 60 or 100 pounds on a trailer, that's different. So say you take a 200-pound guy.
Right.
He's well within the weight limit of the bike, and he might pull another 100 pounds mm-hmm. behind him. That's mm-hmm. all. That 100 pounds doesn't add, right? Because that's a towing weight of that bike. If you have a little trailer, it's the actual, when they say a weight limit on, that means the sitting on the bike itself.
Right.
The weight. And then, you know, a lot of guys will use these bikes to scout, you know,
mm-hmm.
well before hunting season, they're just looking for patterns or whatever they do to scout, how, whatever their methodology is for that. And, great option for that.
Right.
Once again, it's quiet, easy to get around on. You're not carrying a lot of extra weight. You're carrying maybe some rangefinders and some, you know, binoculars, but maybe a spotting scope. Now, I mean, all of that stuff is pretty easy to put on an e-bike and ride into some of the back country area that you wouldn't normally ride in,
mm-hmm.
you know, or even hike in, even hiking.
Right.
Put that tire protection in it. Get that. I'm telling you that you'll love it if you do that, and because that pretty much keeps all the flats away from you, because you will get a flat tire in some of these areas.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I was talking with one guy, and he was a big fishing guy, and he said, you know, Scott, he goes, what I do is I park a car or my truck, you know, downstream, ride the e-back upstream, and he said, then I just fish it all the way back, and then I'm back down to my vehicle, boom, done, and had a great, enjoyable time, you know. Didn't overstress himself from, you know, doing a lot of walking and everything too, but got to accomplish everything he wanted to. And so, I mean, that's a good plan. That works.
That's a great plan. And you know what? It works the reverse. Park your car. You happen to be, you get into fish and you're going downstream a little bit. Well, I guess you'd have to have your bike. Maybe that's not such a great scenario, but if you did park above it and you rode your bike down,
sure,
you know, and then worked your way back up, there's just so many different ways you can utilize that bike, mm-hmm. for that outdoors person,
right? Just, and the really reason I want to bring this up, you know, we kind of talked about this the other day. I think a couple months ago, I was telling you about me riding and just bumping into people and asking what they enjoyed about their bike. So many people, you know, and I'll just say 50 plus, and especially, you know, 60 plus, have given up some of the things that they love so much because their legs just won't let them do it anymore. And I'm telling you, folks, this is an opportunity to get back out there and do what you love and have fun and see the world completely different from an e-bike. And with Randy set up there at the store, E-Bike of Colorado, they've got an excellent trail system right there where you can get out, do some riding on this on some different terrains, and make sure you get the bike that fits you. And, again, that's their mission there at E-Bike of Colorado. Now, many public lands of, you know, and wildlife management areas, logging roads, as Randy was talking about, you know, ban gas-powered vehicles, but they will permit e-bikes. You've got to know all the rules and regulations there, but they can easily help you bypass, you know, miles of flat or hilly terrain that, you know, would be exhausting sometimes for us, and saving you a lot of that energy for the hunt or the cast, so to speak. And you know, Randy, I'm not going to give up on this till we get somebody, because I've talked with CPW a number of times. Every time I run across them for some other question on our show here, and I said, can I get somebody that knows this stuff inside and out, and there's no gray areas, and we can leave our audience with black and white answers for e-bikes? And I'm still working on that, but man, we're going to get it, because you asked 10 different people with CPW and you get 12 different answers. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it does seem to be a lot of gray area. But I can tell you that with the different classes, and you can tell me, you know, what you know, but different classes are there. E-bikes are permitted in a lot of great areas.
You know, Scott, I'm glad you brought this up, because we just recently did a full seminar with some police departments with the public. So the police are there, we're there, and then the public shows up and they start asking questions. And our staff kept those police departments on track, because once again, people misinterpret the actual way the rules went written, and they don't understand the full spectrum of what the e-bike is all about. There's so many people, and people from the audience are asking questions that's more e-moto, electric motorcycle. Mm-hmm. We get that. And the police department buys into that then, because they have somebody that's not necessarily qualified. He might be a cyclist in his past life or his present life, but he's not an e-bike guy.
Right.
We know. People ask us all the time, too, can I ride this on this, you know, park or whatever. We always say check with that, because we may interpret the rule that they can, and their park rangers or whoever that is interprets it differently. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to misguide somebody. In other words, I bought this bike specifically to ride this area, and now that I bought it, I can't go into that area because they say it's illegal.
Right.
We've actually convinced people at that state level that they are wrong and that we are correct, and they've come back with a ruling saying, yes, you're right, you can. We don't like it, but you can ride an e-bike. There's not a state law
right
against it.
And I would say this, and again, I support CPW, and I'm going to say get into an argument with me like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking, you know, sir, ma'am, look, happy to abide by the law, want to be law-abiding. But can you show me where it says in the state guidelines what you're telling me? You know? And then if you ever run into that, please call us here on the show. But I don't think there's a thing wrong with that, because I think there are a lot of misconceptions, and people just have a thought process on it. And it may or may not be correct.
True story.
Yeah.
True statement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll get by and see Randy and his team there at E-Bike of Colorado. Be sure and let them know you heard them here on the show, KLZ560. Tell them Scott sent you. And, man, they'll take great care of you. And maybe you hadn't even thought about this, but it did resonate with you that your knees hurt and your legs hurt and you don't enjoy walking quite like you used to. Here's a chance to get out and enjoy the great outdoors we have here, and even traveling. And I'll just finish with this. Kevin Flesh was talking, you know, they put theirs, I think, on a camper they had rented and took them. So, hey, wherever you travel, get some e-bikes and, boy, just see the country a little bit easier and a little bit better. So, Randy, as always, we appreciate it. Now, catch Randy every Wednesday. He is with us for Just Try It. And that's the name of a segment we do every Wednesday at noon on our Haystack Help Radio show. And we will let you know everything about e-bikes, what's going on, all the specials they've got going on, anything you need to know there on Just Try It. And that's Wednesdays from noon to 12:30. And I hope you'll join us there. So, Randy, I know you're busy here on a weekend, so we'll cut you loose. But we will talk soon, my friend.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That's Randy Crancy, E-Bike of Colorado, 544 Front Street, downtown Louisville. Get by, take a test ride, and again, tell them Scott sent you. You're listening to Sports from Colorado. We'll be right back.
Are you in the market for a new firearm, or maybe looking to purchase your very first firearm? Well, wouldn't it be great to have an experience worth telling your friends and family about while making such an important purchase? At Bighorn Firearms, we know how important that is, and it's our mission to provide this experience to every customer that walks through our front door. Hi, I'm Ryan, owner of Bighorn Firearms, located in Southeast Denver, and my team and I are customers too. We know what it's like to experience the typical specialty store attitude, and we believe everyone deserves a first-class experience when purchasing a firearm. If you're searching for friendly service, a knowledgeable and passionate staff, and a great selection of firearms, we'd like to invite you to Denver's best independent gun store, Bighorn Firearms, 1 mile east of Evans and I-25. Whether it's your first gun or you've been collecting for years, our friendly and knowledgeable staff are passionate about answering all of your questions. Service and selection is our commitment to you. That's Bighorn Firearms, located at 2175 South Jasmine Street, Suite 105, Denver. Call us now, 303-758-9423, or shop online, BighornUSA.com.
With the weather heating up and summer plans in place, make sure your pets are ready for the season too with the caring team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and whether it's for a checkup, vaccinations, parasite prevention, allergy care, dental services, or surgical needs, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is ready to help your pet stay healthy and active all summer long. Planning a vacation? Their professional boarding services make it easy, and you'll know your pets are being cared for by people you can trust. And if your dog or cat needs a little freshening up, their professional groomers will help your pet look and feel its very best. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, no matter what your pet needs, they've got you covered. Privately owned for 25 years, they are certified by the American Animal Hospital Association with its highest rankings and hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050 to schedule your pet's next visit. Check out their website at LoneTreeVet.com. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. It's the place where my pets go.
When it comes to protecting what matters most, trust the best. For over 36 years, Liberty Safe has proudly been America's number one safe manufacturer. Built with American ingenuity and unmatched attention to detail, Liberty Safes are designed to protect your firearms, safeguard important documents, and preserve your most cherished valuables. And here in Colorado, your trusted source is Colorado Safes. With two convenient locations in Wheat Ridge and Colorado Springs, Colorado Safes offers the security solutions you need and the peace of mind you deserve. Stop by Colorado Safes today and protect what matters most. ColoradoSafes.com.
Looking to gear up for your next hunt, fishing trip, or camping adventure? Head to the Outdoorsman's Attic, Colorado's largest consignment store for hunting, fishing, and camping gear, located at 2650 West Hamden. Hey, this is Scott with Sportsman of Colorado Radio, and you'll find wall-to-wall outdoor gear to firearms and ammo. You'll find incredible selection at unbeatable prices, plus clothing over 90 days old is up to 50% off, so there's always great deals waiting. Whether you're upgrading gear or just getting started, the Outdoorsman's Attic is a must stop. Mention Sportsman of Colorado for additional discounts. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, where smart outdoorsmen shop. Tell them Scott sent you. It's 2650 West Hamden.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Crancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Sports from Colorado. Again, thank you so much for being with us. LT Arms, they are extremely busy, but we pulled Brandon Anderson away, wanted to get him on today to catch us up and all that is going on, and which is a lot. So Brandon, you able to catch your breath over there, man?
Yeah, Scott, we've been pretty busy for the last, I don't know, about the past month, but the last week has really kind of hit hard. We got a lot of people coming in for some last minute panic buying.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, you know, I don't want to be over repetitive of what's happening, but I think, you know, we get new listeners and some people you're probably seeing come in the door, don't really know everything that's going on, so we'll try to catch them up, and please interject any thoughts you have. But basically, I don't know how many guns are on the list. I think it was a 150-page document I heard when it first came out, but have you heard roughly how many guns are currently on that list?
No, because they've updated it a few times, but I think you're about right on the pages. It's between 150 and 200.
So there's a list of guns that were deemed dangerous, I guess. I don't know what their qualifications were. And so now, as of August 1st, there is more steps to buying one of those guns. And it'll either be a four-hour class if you have a current Colorado's hunter safety course under your belt, and it will be a 12-hour class if you don't. And these instructors are not being taught. I had a guy tell me today, he goes, CPW, where are they getting these people to teach these? And then CPW is not teaching the class. They have instructors that have gone through their program that will be teaching the classes. It's up to them what they charge. So you're going to see a wide range, and I've heard a wide range so far of prices that can be charged for the 4-hour and 12-hour class. But that's kind of it. But, I mean, it even starts before that. You know, there's like 6 steps to getting the gun now, and I think the 5th one is going into the store and buying the gun. So there's going to be a lot of steps, and Brandon and the team there at LT Arms, they can fill you in on all that. But, Brandon, pretty much I would think a special order would probably be out of the question now, unless one of your local folks had it, suppliers, where you could get it in and then get the 3-day wait behind you and all that. So we're really coming down to the wire, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. We've pretty much hit the deadline for special orders, unless it's something we can get overnighted to us where, you know, you're going to add some cost to it by having to pay that overnight shipping. But, yeah, unless it's something we can get within the next few days, I mean, anything that comes in midweek next week, you have until about, you know, Monday or Tuesday before you can start a background check, hit your 72 hours, and still fall within the date range to where you're not overlapping into August. Because I know a lot of guys, they think that you can come in on that Friday on the, you know, the 31st and do your background check and still be able to get it on the 2nd or 3rd. But yeah, I mean, that has, the background check has to be done, your 72 hours have to be up, and firearm has to be in hand by, you know, 11:59 p.m. on the, you know, last day of July. So
okay, now if people, and I've had a buddy of mine that was in this position the other day, he had the Angels Defense 308. He was looking at maybe switching out some different things and doing some things different. And I said, well, man, now's the time to sell it. You know. So if anybody's listening and you're in that situation, Brandon, tell them how it works.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's looking to get rid of something like that, they can come down and we do consignment on those guns. We do a 75-25 split on all of our consignment guns. We'll do it pretty much, we'll do a 50-50 if you want to sell it outright, just because you don't get as much up front. But, I mean, you can still consign those. And if you came in today and consigned it, it would, you know, get, you could get it to somebody else in time for the August 1st deadline. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know. But, yeah, so if people want to do things like that, that still is an option. We have a lot of people actually coming in and getting rid of things because they think it's an outright ban, which is a little bit of, you know, more of the confusion and misinformation. It's
right.
Like, if you already own it, you're grandfathered in, you're allowed to have it. So a lot of guys are getting really worried and they're coming like, I got to get rid of all this stuff, I don't want to get arrested. And it's like, you're not going to get arrested. If you already have it, you're completely legal and within the law.
Right, so. Right. Once again, it's LT Arms, 8130 Schaefer Parkway in Littleton. And, you know, get by and see them. I started to say call them, but you know what? They're busy. But their number is 720-727-0400. Again, 720-727-0400. But get by the store if you've got questions. They'll be glad to answer any questions and help you out. And, Brent, what have you heard with different things on the classes? Do you have any insights to just – whether it be rumors or truth of what you've heard about these classes?
I have heard a price range anywhere from some people are offering it for $200 and some people are offering it for $2,000. I won't call them out.
right.
Some pretty high prices on some of these classes. But there's only a few places, too, where I've heard are actually doing it for the amount of FFLs that are in this state and the amount of people that purchase guns and they assume will be taking these classes in order to get this permission slip, we'll call it, for lack of a better term. There aren't a lot of people offering this class, so I don't know if it's just they haven't been able to get signed up or they just don't want to, you know, participate in the system. We haven't really figured that out. I know some people just outright are saying, I'm not going to play this game, which is, you know, completely fine. They can do that, so.
Sure.
Whether or not we'll do it, we still haven't decided, so we'll see what the future holds.
Right.
We'll see what August 1st looks like with lawsuits, and I hear there's quite a few coming down the pipe. So.
Right. Now, I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard this, I've heard, and again, I haven't read every word of the 150 pages, but I think that's, they worded that in a way where anytime they want to add guns to that, they can do that. Is that what you understand?
Yeah, it looks like that list can be amended anytime they please if they feel like there's something they forgot about, or if there's something they don't think belongs on that list, they can take it off. I assume it'll be that amendment will be used more frequently to add things to it than remove things from it. But and there's a few candidates running for Phil Weiser's one of them running for governor, and he's already stated that if he has plans to add more semi-automatic pistols to that list, and pretty much wants to do anything that has a detachable magazine, regardless of whether it's gas operated or blowback or striker fired or.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it looks like this may not be the end of that list. So we'll see if it gets lengthier as the years go by. Hopefully it doesn't. But
all right. And Greg Lopez, again, running unaffiliated. I talked with Greg. He was on our weekday show we have here a week or so ago. Talked to him about it, and he's going to do everything he can to unwind all this. So keep that in mind as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, man, when you look, who would have ever thought in the United States of America, man, we would be having to do this? And look, I told somebody the other day, they go, well, aren't you for training? 100%. I'm all for people being safe and getting trained with guns and all that. But that's not what this is about. I mean, there's not even any range time in this.
No.
What people are going to talk about for 12 hours, dude, and you've been in a lot of classes in your life. I've been to classes in my life. I don't know what they're going to do for 12 hours.
No, yeah, you're totally right. That's the thing. Everybody does bring up that whole, are you against training and this will provide valuable training? And, looking at the curriculum, I'm like, there's not a bit of training that's going to go on. It's going to be, a lot of, like you're saying, a lot of verbiage and a lot of, I think it's going to be pretty repetitive. And I don't know if it's going to turn into, making you feel bad for wanting to take this class while you're taking it or what they're going to spend that 12 hours on. But
right.
It seems like a pretty large chunk of time to fill, and there's if you're not, they don't have any range time included in that. I don't know what they're going to fill it with.
Absolutely. Well, listen, get by, and I know you guys are busy, man. I don't want to keep you too long here, but 8130 Schaefer Parkway, when you go in, be sure and let them know you heard them here on Sportsman of Colorado, and we'd appreciate that as well. But as we just kind of discussed, if you got some guns you want to consign, maybe some you're just not using anymore, or you want to upgrade or go to some different calibers or something, they can help you there. Their gunsmithing department, now's the time to get in. We'll be doing another show next week, the kickoff August, and talk about that a little bit. But do that now. Get your guns ready here for the big game season coming up. Transfers they can help you with. And, again, great store, super good staff there. They'll be glad to walk you through all of these hoops we got to jump through, but there are several. So, again, get by and see them, 8130 Schaefer Parkway. So, Brandon, I appreciate it, bud. And I'll see you soon, man. I'm over a bunch, so I'll see you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate you, too.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We got to hit a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Here's your Water Talk Minute with Paul the Water Man, brought to you by Water Pros.
So one of the things that we've learned, and you can check this out factually, information for yourself by going to the EPA.gov, the EPA has a laundry list of unregulated contaminants. And what that means, folks, is that your municipality does not have to test for these contaminants, and so they're not reported in your NLE water quality report. This is something that has to change. We have a false sense of security about the quality of our drinking water. from pharmaceuticals to the levels of PFAS and Gen X chemicals, which was recently removed from the EPA contamination list. And for example, there's a contaminant on the unregulated list called 1,4-dioxin. 1,4-dioxin has been in our water supply since the early 1900s. Check out my podcast on Spotify, Paul the Waterman, or waterpros.net.
For over 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx Maps to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of more than 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Boone and Crockett Club, and Eastman's. Whether it's on your smartphone or handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. Go to the App Store or onyxmaps.com.
They're the first on call and the first on scene. But did you know the suicide rate for first responders is 1.5 times higher than the general public? At Hometown Hero Outdoors, we help to provide healing for veterans, law enforcement, and first responders by creating memorable outdoor experiences designed to focus on camaraderie and mental health. Our mission is to serve those who have served us. Help us make a difference. To join Hometown Hero Outdoors or to help by donating, visit hometownherooutdoors.org.
Sportsman of Colorado Radio is brought to you by the Colorado Wildlife Council. The council works to educate the public on the importance of scientific wildlife management, conservation, and the benefits of wildlife-related recreational opportunities, specifically hunting and fishing. For the hunter and angler community, this educational mission is vital. It empowers us to become effective advocates for the wildlife and outdoor traditions we value. Their mission is to ensure that Colorado's wildlife is preserved for future generations through public education. Learn more about their work and how it supports your role as an advocate at cowildlifecouncil.org. We thank the Colorado Wildlife Council for their support of Sportsman of Colorado Radio.
This is AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Sports from Colorado. Appreciate you being with us today. We're going to go to the phones now, talk to our good buddy Dan Gates. I wish we had a couple of hours here for Dan, but Dan and I have been discussing some things to have him on more often. We are going to start trying to figure out ways to, just keep everyone abreast of what's going on. There's so much going on from the hunting side, the gun laws, all the different things. We want to make sure we are giving you, our listeners, good information, right information, and tell you what you need to do and how you can help. And the best way to do that is keep you informed. So, Dan, thanks for being with us today, bud. I appreciate it. How are you?
Not too bad, sir. Appreciate the opportunity. And hopefully people don't get tired of listening about the politics of what's necessary to maintain what we have in Colorado. But this is the landscape that we're in, and I appreciate the opportunity to keep everybody apprised.
You bet. You bet, man. Well, we just wrapped up down there in Ignacio, so give us a recap.
Well, the good thing that happened out of that was the Rolling Thunder Conservation Bowling Tournament that we actually put on with a bunch of other sportsmen and agricultural organizations and part of the community. We did that to try to relieve some headache and strain and stress on people, and it was a good turnout. I had about 15 different sponsors and about 120 people that participated that had never bowled before. I hadn't bowled in the last 50 years. We felt it necessary to do that because we knew how tight and tumultuous the agenda was going to be for the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission, which they didn't surprise us, and they gave us exactly what we expected, with a bag limit conversation on fur bearers on the first day. It was supposed to take about an hour and 15 to hour and 30 minutes on the agenda, and it ended up taking 6 hours. Wow. For them to make the decision to ultimately go against staff recommendation, go against the biological evidence that bag limits would not play any significant role in managing our 17 fur-bearing species in the state. And instead of going with an unlimited status quo of what we've had for the last 50 years, going against the recommendations of the director and CPW staff of 15 per species of the 17 species, and then with some secondary options of 8 and 4, the commission just pulled the number out of somewhere, probably somewhere on the dark side, right, and went with 2. So the ultimate decision turned out to be a 6-5 vote, including, and I must mention, including the support to pass that particular bag limit restriction by supposed sportsperson rep Gabriel Otero from over in Fruta, Grand Junction, Colorado. And Mr. Otero was just recently reappointed by the governor and then became the vice chair of the commission. And so he voted for that. He was the deciding vote. The sportsman rep was the deciding vote, and it came out 6-5 to prohibit unlimited take, or 15 or 8-4, and create those restrictions to knock it down to 2. So if we get hunters that go out and they want to pursue fur-bearing animals, whether it's through cage traps, which is the only legal method of traps in the state for recreational or avocational purposes, or if they want to pursue it during predator calling or maybe during a pheasant hunt, for crying out loud. You know, everybody gets a small game permit, a small game license.
Sure.
And, you know, a coyote jumps up when you're pheasant hunting, you would now be forced to have a bag limit of 2 on coyotes and short-tailed weasels and skunks and raccoons and any one of the other remaining fur-bearing species. And we talk about a contentious vote and conversation and how that stuff played out. It was disheartening and displeasuring to see the agenda the way it's been laid out under this particular gubernatorial administration and how that's transcended into the commission selection and the appointments.
Mm-hmm.
We went against the staff once again. We went against the biological evidence once again. We went against the facts and the data once again, and now we're at 2 for the bag limit.
Right.
The good thing is that on the second day, after many parts of the presentation by qualified experts and CBW staff, the commission voted once again 6-5, but Mr. Otero then voted on our side along with Jack Murphy and along with the new commissioner, Peter McGuire, to terminate rulemaking on the commercial fur ban citizens petition that was initiated in June of 2025 by the Center for Biological Diversity that ultimately drew so much attention and about 500 people to show up at the Westminster Commission meeting on March 4th and 5th,
mm-hmm,
where the commission then voted to move that forward and then gave the agency some instructions about rulemaking recommendations, which they ultimately came back. And there was a tremendous amount of information that was distributed from CBW and from their qualified staff. And if anybody didn't see that, they can go back and watch it on the YouTube version of that particular meeting. But well, I tell you what, we didn't think that we would come out victorious on that, but we didn't think that the bag limits would be so contentious.
Right.
And so we had a significant setback, not necessarily a loss, because there was not a prohibition on the harvest. There was a restriction on the harvest. But then we did come out victorious on the commercial fur ban deal. So that's a done and mute point at this point in time.
Right. Dan Gates is with us. Educate us on this commission board real quick. I had a couple of people ask me, you know, let's say Victor Marx becomes governor. You know, Greg Lopez is running unaffiliated. Can either one of those gentlemen do something with that commission board if they are elected a new governor?
Yeah, that's a good question, Scott. We've been asked that on multiple levels, and the theory is that, and the historical precedent that's been set over the course of the last 30-plus years, is that most governors that get elected come in, granted, now keep in mind, it's not like we had 100 of them in the last 30 years. We've had about 5. But they've come in, and they've wanted to set the tone and narrative from their perspectives and change the makeup of different boards and committees and hirings of very important and influential spots, whether it's, you know, an executive director or a director or appointments for different boards and committees. I mean, keep in mind, I think the governor has the ability to be able to turn around and appoint or hire in excess of about 3,800 people.
Yeah, I was astonished at that number when I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to figure that now he might not actually have his thumb on every single one of those circumstances, but the people that he puts in place would then be able to turn around and run those other selections, you know, the lower tiered selections up the flagpole and up the chain of command. But it's ultimately coming down to the preferences of the gubernatorial administration that get elected. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, Victor Marx could come in. Greg Lopez could come in. Phil Weiser could come in. And what I would think is in unconfirmed spots, like what we've got on the Parks and Wildlife Commission right now, we've got five unconfirmed spots. The three new commissioners that were selected after we got rid of the two during the legislative session, Chris Sisko and John Emmerich. And now so we've gotten three replacements that come in because Ed Vardy, the agricultural representative, was termed out after 8 years, two full terms. So we got Rebecca Niemick as a doctor or professor out of the Colorado State University. And then we got a individual sports person that the governor chose, Peter McGuire from over in Grand Junction. And then Jonathan Lecoe, or Johnny Lecoe, is another individual that was chosen. And then Rich Reading, the former chair, and Gabriel Altero, the other sportsperson rep, both of those were reappointed. So, in essence, five unconfirmed individuals sit on that commission at this point in time, and they could be replaced or asked to reapply because they haven't been confirmed.
Right.
And I want to emphasize real quick, because the thing that we ran into with Chris Sisko during this last legislative session, Mr. Sisko was appointed after the session started in January and could not vote on the commission, could not sit on the commission until he went through the confirmation process. And during that confirmation process, the sporting community, the ag community, put up enough of a fight on him and Commissioner Emmerich, who had already been appointed prior to the legislative session. We put enough pressure on both of those individuals that they ultimately stepped down, resigned, or were forced to resign. These particular appointments happened after session, so they can all vote. The other one, Chris Sisko, could not vote during the legislative session because he was appointed during it. These ones here are kind of not an anomaly. He was an anomaly. Sisko was. And so it just lays out a different strategy for governors to come in and decide who they want to hang their hat on. Mm-hmm. And what I would say, this is me thinking, I'm not a Rhodes Scholar by any means, and even my anti-friends would agree with that. But whatever governor is in there, they wouldn't want, you would think, a controversial set of commission appointments that are up for confirmation, especially that they did not choose.
Yep, exactly.
And so it would be likely, in our assumption, the community's assumption, that there would be probably an additional transition that we could probably look forward to in some capacity, and maybe even on Commissioner Reading and Commissioner Gabriel Otero, because none of the five that are unconfirmed right now would have been selected by the next incoming governor.
Right. Wow. Dan Gates is our guest, Coloradans for Responsible for Wildlife Management. You can go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com for a lot of information there. Dan, let's hit Initiative 302. Update everybody on, you know, for maybe new people that aren't familiar with that. Fill us in on that and where we are.
Signatures were turned in about 2 weeks ago to the Secretary of State's office, around 180,000 signatures from the campaign, which is the constitutional right to hunt and fish in the state of Colorado. We are awaiting the certification of those signatures through the Secretary of State, to where we can then get a amendment number that can be distributed to the general public to say vote yes or vote no on specific amendment. Right now it's still Initiative 302 because that's the preliminary process that one needs to go through during the signature collection side of things and in the title board and the legislative council side early on in their efforts. And so now it's still Initiative 302, but it won't be once we get an amendment number. and the messaging is starting to formulate, and you're starting to see a significant amount of pushback from the animal rights extremist community saying that this will undermine CPW and it'll take the authority for science-based wildlife management away. And nothing could be further from the truth. It still gives the unequivocal authority to not only the agency, but to the commission and to the legislature, that if they want to do some sort of significant prohibitions or restrictions on hunting and fishing opportunities, there has to be a science-driven methodology to be able to turn around and codify that attempt to be able to restrict or prohibit those activities.
Okay.
So there's the fundraising still going on. People can still participate, and you can go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com for that. We are leading the ground charge on that for the International Order of T. Roosevelt, which is the mothership partner that stepped in to be able to help us in the state of Colorado to help codify it as the 25th state to be able to have the constitutional right to hunt and fish. I would say that you can look online and see all the back and forth between the supporters and the opponents, but the language is very clear, and the language has been defined in a sense to where this doesn't take any authority away from any of the governing or managing agencies. It does not give anybody trespassing rights. You still have to have a license. You still have to go within seasons. You still have to go within legal methods of take. This just codifies the statutory side of what CPW has to deal with 33-1101, the statutory regulation under Colorado revised statutes, and will actually codify it in the state constitution to make it more difficult for the things that we've been having to deal with for the last 30 years, but specifically the last 8 years under this administration.
Right. So what would be some things, we got about 5 or 6 minutes here, what would be some things that right now you would want our listeners to know and to get involved in, or what can we do just to use these minutes here to educate some of us on what all is going on? Because there's a lot going on.
there's a heck of a lot going on, and a couple things that I want to mention is the Colorado Sports Persons Roundtable that I chair for CPW will be meeting in Carbondale on August 1st, and we just had our Southeast Caucus meeting last night in Colorado Springs, but we'll be meeting in Carbondale on August 1st, and for more information, you can go to the CPW website to be able to get more information about the Colorado Sportspersons Roundtable. In addition to that, the Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management is having their Save the Hunt Conservation Banquet on August 8th in Florence, Colorado. We've had to cancel our 2-day Outdoorsman Days event because of the fires for the Aspen Acres fire, which is still burning. And the facility that we've been using historically is still considered an evacuation center, even though there's some events that can happen there. And we will be having our banquet on the night of August 8th. For more information or to buy tickets or to help support that effort on this constitutional right to hunt and fish, you can still go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com. You can buy banquet tickets, or you can just contribute to the cause. This is a monumental effort on this constitutional right, Scott, and people need to understand that what we did in 2024 on Prop 127 and the fur ban of Ordinance 308 in the city and county of Denver, this is far more reaching and far more costly to be able to get this across the finish line, and this benefits everybody.
Right.
This doesn't have to do with mountain lions or bobcats or just fur. This is everything hunting and fishing, and we need boots on the ground, in-state support, financially and otherwise. That being said, as this becomes an amendment number, we'll be doing a similar campaign of what we did back in 2024 on 127 with yard signs, billboards, 4x8 billboards, bumper stickers, toolkits, things that can be used for individuals and organizations alike, and that grassroots anecdotal word-of-mouth coalition that we've been able to build up so strongly over the last 8 years is imperative to make sure that we have that sort of messaging and that sort of coalition building out there. And for more information, you can go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com. You can also go to SaveCOHeritage.org, and you'll be able to find some additional information. And as that amendment number becomes more solidified through the certification process, then you'll be able to utilize the toolkits and so forth and share through your resources or your organizations to be able to expand that message about the constitutional right to hunt and fish.
Right. Help us with the message. You know, I think this is one thing that helped us with 127 is, you know, all of us tried to talk to people that were non-hunters and tried to get them to understand kind of what that was all about. And I think that was a big key to the win there. What should the messaging be? How do you explain it to a person that necessarily is not in our outdoor world?
Two things that we're emphasizing on the campaign is Colorado's heritage continually is under attack and assault from individual groups like this particular gubernatorial administration that has exacerbated this urban-rural divide. And heritage and tradition is something of significant importance to the majority of Colorado voters and residents. They don't have to be a sportsman or woman. 94% of all Coloradans engage in outdoor activities in some capacity.
Wow.
96% of all Coloradans eat meat. Now, this could be something where you could say, I want the ability to be able to supply food for myself. But the agriculture community is going to be instrumental in the messaging of this, because if you look at IP-28 in Oregon, that would essentially create Oregon as a sanctuary state. No hunting, no fishing, no trapping, no livestock production, no eggs, no pork, no beef, no nothing, no pest control. These are the same things that are happening in the state of Colorado in the constitutional right to hunt and fish side. The heritage side, the traditional side, is a key component of messaging. But more importantly, Scott, we go back to the same thing that we said during 127. Let the experts manage our wildlife, and that's exactly what the ballot initiative says.
Mm-hmm.
The CBW and the legislature and the commission still has the unequivocal authority to manage our wildlife as long as science backs that up. And it takes the ballot box check mark away about voting yes or no on something. And I think that in itself, between the science and between the heritage, are two messages that will resonate with the majority of Colorado voters.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Dan, like I said, we're going to be doing a lot more of this. We'll get it all figured out. Looking forward to being with you on August 8th, and certainly going to try to make it down to Carbondale on August the 1st. So, folks, again, go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com. And then you said it was SaveCOHeritage.org?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So SaveCOHeritage.org as well. And, of course, if you ever have any questions, hey, get your questions to us. We'll get Dan on, get him to answer them for us. We just want to keep everybody informed best we can of what's going on and how you can help and what we must do to get folks to help us win this. Man, if we can get this on the it's going to be on the ballot, hopefully, here with all the signatures we turned in. But we got to get that across the line for sure. So, Dan, we appreciate your time, bud, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you, sir. Stay the course and aim small, miss small.
Yes, sir. You too, bud. All right. That's Dan Gage, Coloradans for Responsible for Wildlife Management. I want to thank all of our guests today. Mostly thank you for being with us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.